Hello and good morning, everybody. This is Miss Parker from RV Project 12. Help. RV Project 12. No, it's 9/21/2022 today, and there's a possibility that our country is going to be under military rule for a while to get rid of some of the bad actors that we have in the United States. And so because of that, I realized, one of our channel admins realized, that many people don't really know how to work with the military and what the power is over the inhabitants of the United States when we go into military law. So that's what this chat is going to be about. Let me get my disclaimer up and read to you, and then we'll get this party started. I just have to scroll through a few things so I can find it. Okay, folks, here we go. The material and information contained or given on this website or audio files are for general information and entertainment purposes only. All parties in this channel are not lawyers, or are we financial advisors. You should not rely on this material to make any business decisions. While I do endeavor to keep the information up to date and correct, RV Project Help makes no representations, warranties of any kind, expressed or implied, about the completeness, accuracy, reliability, suitability, or availability with respect to the website, information, products, services, audio files, or related graphics contained on this website for any purpose. All due diligence is the sole responsibility of the participant. Thank you very much for showing up today, and we're going to get right to this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read this document so you have a better idea of what will happen when we go under martial law. So the book that I'm reading out of is the it's called the Department of Defense Law of War Manual. And this is basically what all of the military will be reading and using when we go into military lockdown. So there's several, I'm looking at chapter 11 of this book, and then there's introduction. 11.1 is the introduction. 11.2 is when military law occupation applies. 11.3 is end of occupation and duration of GC obligations. 11.4, legal position of the occupying power. 11.5, duty of the occupying power to ensure public safety and public order. 11.6, protection of the population of an occupied territory. And 11.7, which is what I'm about to read, is the authority of the occupying power over the inhabitants. It's better to know what the military is legally able to do rather than to guess and be wrong. So 11.7, authority of the occupying power over inhabitants. The occupying power's authority over inhabitants of an occupied territory derives from its war powers and from its duty to ensure public order and safety in an occupied territory. The occupied power, as a belligerent state, may take such measures of control and security in regard to protected persons as may be necessary as the result of the war. In addition, the occupying power may take measures necessary to fulfill its duty to ensure public order and safety. Hey, Sabrina.
Yes. Yes.
Who is the occupying power? Is that our military? Is that the bad guys? Who's the occupying power?
The occupying power. Okay. The authority of the occupying power over the residents. The occupying power is our military.
Okay. That's what I wasn't sure of. 11.7.1, inhabitants' obedience to the occupying power. So who is the inhabitants? Is the inhabitants the regular citizens of the United States?
That is correct.
Okay. It is the duty of the inhabitants to carry on their ordinary peaceful pursuits, to behave in an absolutely peaceful manner, to take no part whatsoever in the hostilities carried on, to refrain from all injurious acts toward the forces or in respect to their operations, and to render strict obedience to the orders of the occupant. Okay. So let's go over this. In duty of the inhabitants, so that's the citizens, to carry on their ordinary peaceful pursuits and go to work, have a day off, that kind of stuff. To behave in absolute peaceful manner, like your normal life. To take no part in whatever the hostilities carried on. What are they talking about with hostilities? What's that exactly mean?
You don't need to take up arms and go and fight side by side with them unless they are telling you that they need help.
Okay. All right. And to render strict obedience to the orders of the occupant is the military, right?
Correct.
Okay. Next paragraph. I just want to break this down because I'm not real sure. So I'd rather be sure than guess. Subject to the restrictions imposed by international law, the occupying power may demand and enforce from the inhabitants of occupied territory such obedience as may be necessary for the security of its forces, for the maintenance of law and order, and for the proper administration of the country. What does that mean? Demand and enforce? What can they demand?
They want to have a curfew.
Ah,
because
okay.
For your safety, things like that.
Can they take, can like, we're taking your car. Can they do that?
No. It goes further into it. You just keep reading.
All right. Sorry. The inhabitants' obedience, I'm thinking, I'm going to hide my flatbed. The inhabitants' obedience in the occupying power is generally distinguished from a duty of allegiance. Now, that's kind of interesting. The inhabitants' obedience to the occupying power is generally distinguished from a duty of allegiance. So we love our country, so we listen to our military.
Pretty much.
Inhabitants' duty of allegiance to his or her state of nationality is not severed. The inhabitants, however, are not bound to obey the state of nationality. What the hell does that mean? Go back.
Can you read it again?
The inhabitants' obedience to the occupying power is generally distinguished from a duty of allegiance. The inhabitants' duty of allegiance to his or her stated nationality is not severed. The inhabitants, however, are not bound to obey their state of nationality.
Okay, so remember how we've been talking about sovereign states? Are you a sovereign of the state? Are you a sovereign of the federal? What are you?
Yeah.
Basically, you have your guard troops and you have your federal troops. And I'm taking a shot at this because I'm not seeing exactly where you're reading from. So I'm trying to go off my head.
It is 11.7.1.
Okay, I see it.
Second paragraph, it's the bottom of the first and the beginning of the second.
Yep. All right, inhabitants' obedience is generally distinguished from a duty of allegiance. Okay, the inhabitant's duty of allegiance to his or her state or nationality is not.
Okay. Severed. What in
we'll
the
come
world?
Back to it. Let's go to the next one, and we'll come back to that one. Okay. Sometimes you got to read ahead to understand the previous one.
Okay. 11.7.1.1. Enforcement of obedience. Well, that doesn't sound good. The occupying power's enforcement of obedience must comply with the law of war. For example, measures prohibited by the law of war, such as collective punishments, acts of torture, or reprisals, may not be used. Okay, that makes sense. 11.7.2, censorship and other regulation of the media. Under the law of belligerent occupation, for the purposes of security, an occupying power may establish censorship or regulation of any or all forms of media, such as press, radio, television, and entertainment, theater, movies, and correspondence and other means of communication. For example, an occupying power may prohibit entirely the publications of newspapers that pose a threat to security, or it may prescribe regulations for the publication of circulation of newspapers of other media for the purpose of fulfilling its obligations to restore public order.
That means they can control the media. Because
they can take over the media.
Yeah, they can take over the media and the papers, but it's for the purpose of printing truth rather than propaganda. Now, if you remember, there was a certain, either executive order or law that Obama passed that allowed
That's
you to
just about to ask you about. Yep, that yep. was just about what I was asking about.
Yeah, and so that's gone, because obviously he was a usurper, and anything that he signed or put into law is null and void. So this means truth has to be told.
This is much better.
Definitely.
All right, let's go on. The occupying power is not required to furnish facilities for postal service, but may take charge of them itself, especially if the officials of the occupied district failed to act or to obey its orders.
Basically, the military could take over the postal service to ensure that communications are getting through. The USPS is supposed to do that, through all times, but that's why we maintain our own military postal services, so that we're trained to do that. I did that for a period of time as well.
What are you talking about, military postal services?
It just told you right here. The occupying power shall not be required to provide facilities for postal service, but may assume them for its own account, especially if officials of the occupied district failed to act or obey its orders.
So they control the postal service. You said you had their own, that had their own postal service?
Yeah,
that's what I was
talking
about. The military does.
Yeah.
How does it have its own post? It doesn't use the post office?
It does. It works side by side with it. So I was basically considered the military postmaster for the base. And I would interact with the postmaster on the base for the USPS.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Yeah. And we can also send things called, it's called MOM, military official mail. And it goes base to base, and there's no postage.
Oh, that's cool. 11.7.3, control of means of transportation. An occupying power is entitled to exercise authority over all means of public and private transportation, whether land, airborne, or water within occupied territory, and may seize them. Yeah, so that means they can take your car and regulate their operation.
If they in fact need it, but you will be duly compensated very well. The chances of them doing that are none to zero, pretty much, because they have specialized vehicles that they need.
I'm thinking of getting the neighbor's backhoe and burying my truck is what I'm thinking.
They won't take your truck.
No, I'll holler. 11.7.4. Limits on safety measures. If the occupying power considers it necessary for imperative reasons of security to take safety measures concerning protected persons, it may, at most, subject them to assigned residences or to internment. The occupying power must comply with certain procedural requirements, appeal, periodic review while conducting assigned residence or internment of protected persons in occupied territory based on imperative reasons of security.
Just hold on, guys. I think she's good. Just got a call.
Sorry about that, folks. Where we were at. The occupying power must comply with certain procedural requirements. Appeal, periodic review when conducting assigned residence or internment of protected persons in occupied territory based on imperative reasons of security. The occupying power also has obligation to support persons who are assigned residence and that are required to leave their homes consistent with the standard of the treatments of internees. What does this mean, Sabrina?
Okay, Sabrina. So I'm here. It was taking me a second to get to my button. The occupying power must follow the certain procedural requirements, appeals, periodic review. That means pretty much someone is going to review what they're doing. They can't just go and do it. So it needs to be justified for what they're doing. So what it's telling you is that people are going to be looking in on them. They're just not going to give them full access. It's not going to be, you know, one lone person in the crowd deciding, oh, I need to take over your house. Oh, no. It will be someone that is of a higher ranking, and you will understand that there's an absolute necessity for it.
Okay, I get it now.
Yeah. And realize that it's in the book here, but the chances of it happening are almost nothing, because we have so many other things that take these places. For instance, setting up a base. We have full units that go out and set up a base wherever it needs to be. Or, you know, if you need a field hospital or if you need any of that stuff, that's also another contingency plan if something goes wrong. So chances of this happening, we're talking about times of the Revolutionary War where someone needed to be cared for or needed quarter. Quarter is just mean a house or, you know, a barn or whatever, just a safe physical building. So chances of this happening are nothing, but it's important to understand. So down here, the occupying power is also obligated to support individuals who are assigned residence and are therefore obliged to leave their homes in accordance with the standards. So that means that if they're going to come in and use your home, you're going to need to leave. You can't just stay there. But like I said, that's like Revolutionary War. Like if you remember the movie The Patriot, he could have left his house if they didn't burn it down and let them stay there while they needed to and they were fighting in that area. But he would have followed the orders of them over him. He understood military because he was in it. So the chances of it happening are next to nothing.
Oh, okay. Well, that's basically what the Book of War says about this. Do you have anything else you want to add to this?
Yeah, there's a little bit more to it. Hold on. I'm trying to pull it up real quick, okay? Chapter 11.
I was.
Yeah, I know. Give me 1 second. Yeah, you got it. That was it.
Okay.
I'm sorry. My brain was thinking I had posted twice, and I did, but it was 11.7. Yeah.
Okay.
So to surmise that, they.
Sabrina?
Ooh, I thought I was talking and there's a blue button. I apologize.
I can't hear you at all.
Okay, sorry about that. Let me surmise that for everyone. Okay. Remember how the other day the oath where you'll protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to its own, and that you will.
We remember that.
Okay, and then the end it says, and you will obey the orders of the officers appointed over you. So you're taking an oath basically right now to be a good soldier, good airman, good Marine, whatever. You do that as a civilian as well. And so if those people come to you and say, we need this, you're going to obey those orders of those people appointed over you. And you have higher generals out there that are going to appoint people to specific duties and responsibilities in areas. And basically, you're going to listen to them. You have a really big house and you have a pool, so we're going to stay here. They're not going to do that. It's going to be justified.
Okay. Well, thank you for giving me this information so we can put it out to the general public so they know what to expect when we go into military rule.
All right. I got a phone call coming in.
Thank you very much, folks.